This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The cuts seen around the world.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis in for Bill Radke, who's back next week. The Spanish government made some bold cuts early on so it could avoid the protests and the debt crisis that Greece suffered through. Now it looks like it's having an effect on markets all over the world. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard gives us the global perspective.
The Spanish government plans to cut its budget deficit in half within a year. It will slash public sector pay by 5%, freeze some welfare payments, and stop building some roads. The government in Madrid had been dragging its feet over these difficult decisions, but it's been pressured into action by its European partners. Graham Mather is with the European Policy Forum. He says it's hardly surprising that global investors are relieved. Fears of a European debt default seem to be easing.
The consequences of a major failure in Greece or another of the at-risk countries would have been absolutely disastrous for global markets.
So great has been the international alarm that President Obama phoned the Spanish Prime Minister, urging him to take resolute action to cut his budget deficit. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's check some numbers. European markets are mostly higher at the moment. London's FTSE up about 0.5% right now. The DAX in Germany up about 0.75%. The Parisian shares in France are pretty much flat. Major Asian markets had some solid gains today. Japanese and Chinese shares were up 2%. The Hang Seng was up about 1%. And all signs point to a mixed open today here in the United States on Wall Street. The largest denomination bill printed here in the United States is $100. You'd need six of those, plus a 20 and a 10 and some change to equal how much a 500 euro note is worth. That's the biggest bill printed in Europe. And even though the euro is not the official currency of the UK, some stores there still accept it. Now, because of organized crime, it's going to be even harder to find. For Marketplace, the BBC's Rebecca Singer follows the money.
Criminals love big bills. How else are they going to cram $1 million into a briefcase? Jeffrey Robinson writes about global money laundering.
If I were a drug trafficker and I had a magic wand, I would wish for a 500-euro note, because what that does is immediately reduce the bulk of dirty money. It makes it easier to transport.
Not only is the 500-euro bill easier to carry, it travels further because it's accepted across Europe. And even though the UK uses the British pound, police in London have been finding vast quantities of the 500-euro note on drug raids. Ian Cruxton's from the Serious Organised Crime Agency. He says taking the note out of circulation will make life more difficult for the criminal gangs.
And actually, we suspect that this will open up a significant air gap and cause a real problem for criminals and actually starve them of the supply of one of their vital commodities.
Don't worry if you're a tourist. You can still bring a 500-euro note into the UK without raising too many suspicions. You just won't be able to buy one there. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at vanguard.com. And by Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at gotomeeting.com/market.
The Congressional Oversight Panel has released its latest report on the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP. It says Wall Street banks cut back on lending to small business by 9% since the bailout. The $700 billion in government help was initiated, in part, to open up lending. Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren is chair of the Congressional Oversight Committee. She's with us now from Washington. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
Is there something specific that banks don't like, or is there a reason you think they're reluctant to loan to small businesses?
Part of the problem is that it's more expensive to loan to small businesses in the sense that you can't do it just straight on the numbers. You know, let's look at a credit score. You actually have to look at a business plan to do that. And that means large banks have gotten out of that business to a significant degree and left it to intermediate size and small banks. Now, it's good for intermediate size and small banks to have some business there, but on the other hand, they're the ones who are also being hit by other aspects of the recession. You know, they're going to have to be dealing with the serious commercial real estate losses. And that means they may not be in a position to lend to small businesses.
So, Professor, if small businesses generate, what, 2 of 3 jobs in this economy, doesn't this fly in the face of the necessity of bailing out the banks in the first place?
Well, you know, that's really the irony here, isn't it? Remember, in the fall of 2008, Secretary Paulson went to Congress and the American people and said, we need this $700 billion bailout because if we put the money into the banks, that's how it will make it on into the real economy. And the evidence shows that simply didn't happen. We put the money into big Wall Street banks, and that's where it stayed.
If you had a bullhorn and were on Capitol Hill right now, what would you be saying into that bullhorn?
I'd be saying real economy, mortgage foreclosures, unemployment, small business lending. That stuff is tougher and grittier, but that's where we get payoff. We've got to invest in the real economy here, in folks who get up every day and go out and make things happen. Because if that part of the economy doesn't recover, America doesn't recover.
Professor Elizabeth Warren, chair of the Congressional Oversight Panel. Professor, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, there's a move on Facebook to get comedian Carol Burnett to host Saturday Night Live. Already more than 67,000 people have gone to the fan page and said they like that idea. Now, if it sounds familiar, it's because actress Betty White was chosen to host the program the same way. Turns out Facebook's quite the television consultant. There's a page for Carol Channing to host, even Liza Minnelli. And given that last weekend's SNL had its best ratings in 2 years, there really might be something to that elderly comedian cyber push. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.